Time Radio, all sports, all the time.
Here on Sports Time Radio, and my clocks are really out of sync, so let's see if everything else is going to work.
Start spreading the news.
All right, well, at least that worked. That means Schomburg Stu is here. Stu, did you actually get to come into the podcast?
Yeah, I was 24 seconds I really cut it close today, if you can hear me. I tuned in with 24 seconds to go because Rich called in from Washington. Mm-hmm. We were talking to him about he just moved this week.
Well, there you go. He's working for Donald Trump. I mean, oh, wait, we can't say that. Sorry.
No, I don't think he's a Trump fan.
Anyways, if you'd like to call into the podcast and talk to Stu and I, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so you can look for something popping up there tomorrow, hopefully in the a.m. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. You could like that while you're over there. Well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. And again, sadly, still to report, we don't have Stu on Twitter yet, but I am out there at Burke Time, and you can forward anything you want to tell Stu to me, and I will pass the message along. So there you go.
Appreciate that.
No. All right. Well, I did, humorously, Dan and I were having a conversation, and as you know from various emails, I am not a gigantic NBA fan, but after looking at things and seeing how things go, I'm realizing that one way or the other, they being the NBA, are going to find a way to get the Los Angeles Lakers into the playoffs. And I believe it started last night with a referee by the name of Scott Foster, because somehow the Lakers managed to beat the Houston Rockets 111-106 to get themselves back to 500, and he made some really questionable calls down the stretch and then started handing out technical fouls. Clearly the fix is in, and we're going to find a way to get the Lakers into the playoffs. They're still 2.5 games out. But don't worry about it, Laker fans. You're going to get in the playoffs and draw that Golden State Warrior first-round matchup. And the NBA will probably give you a couple games. You're not going to beat the Warriors, but I won't be surprised if it goes six. So you got that going for you, and I hope you feel good about a team that has to be helped to get into the playoffs.
Really? Is that the referee you're talking about? I know there was some discussion about a referee who didn't like the Lakers, didn't like James. Was that the one?
No, this guy actually has this Scott Foster has issues with the Rockets, and while they've had good luck in the regular season, they're actually 8-2 in games he's ref for in the regular season. Every Houston Rocket playoff game Scott Foster has refed, they've lost. So, just kind of interesting. But yeah, he made two really terrible offensive foul calls on James Harden. And, you know, the worst part was he made them in the fourth quarter. So
yeah,
it was, it was clear there was an agenda there. And, we all know it. But they got to try to hide it the best they can.
Yeah, if one league in all the four major sports in the United States is suspect, it would have to be the NBA. And not only what they're talking about, of course, some of those lottery decisions have been very questionable also over the years.
Yeah, well, you know, the the humorous thing, and I never knew this part of the story before, when all the Tim Donahue stuff broke, you know, and this was a while back now, he was the ref that was actually convicted of fixing games. Apparently, the FBI had him convinced to wear a wire because they believed, and Donahue had pretty much told them, that there were other referees involved in this, but NBA Commissioner David Stern leaked the story to the media. So we never got to find out if there was more than one ref, and the NBA played it off as, well, it's one rogue ref, nobody else is doing it, because, you know, they needed to, otherwise it would have been a gigantic scandal and probably caused the league a lot of damage. But, you know, you can mold it for one guy. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, it's just one guy out of control, you know, making some money on the side, blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, if it's a group of referees, well, then it's a problem. So
you certainly don't want to have the integrity of the league questioned. Man, the only scandals that I've heard about have been in the college ranks a number of years ago, a couple of times, as Northwestern was involved in one incident. But this goes back quite a ways. But I never really heard too much about anything like that in the pro basketball, either the ABA or now, of course, the NBA.
Yeah, you know, Donahue was the first guy I remember getting caught for something like this. You know, so that was kind of odd. And then apparently they kind of made it out to where he was only getting $2,000 a game to fix these games. So I'm guessing he's not a very good negotiator on top of anything else.
Yeah, you think he would get a lot more than that.
So, yeah, you know, but, yeah, it, you know, like I said, it was completely clear that, you know, Scott Foster is pushing the NBA's agenda to make sure the Lakers are in the playoffs. And, you know, we're going to see this a lot more with the Lakers. And, you know, there's no way to prove it. I mean, it's a ref calling fouls on plays that, you know, haven't been called all year. But, hey, we're going to call them now. So
in terms of sports betting, how does the NBA fare in comparison to the betting on baseball, basketball, or hockey?
You know, I really don't know. I do know that they have embraced it much more than any other of the major sports. So you've got to think that's probably driven up the betting for them. But yeah, gambling, you know, with the exception of occasionally, you know, doing like a confidence pool in football.
Right.
You know, it just really isn't my thing. Or, you know, playing FanDuel, which, as you know, I stink at. So, yeah, not a lot of betting knowledge from me. So I don't know how gambling breaks down or who gets the most bets. I would – obviously football does really well, but their season is shorter. But I would think the NBA probably does. I wouldn't be surprised if they were second behind football on kind of average betting.
Probably would. That makes sense. You would think that when you take the four major sports into consideration, probably the least amount of action would probably be in the NHL.
Yeah, well, you know, it's difficult to bet like the NHL and baseball, you know, because, you know, think about it. If you're betting hockey, you know, you got to cover two goals, or in baseball, even if you got to cover two runs, you know, that's a big deal.
It definitely is. And a lot of hockey games wind up with shootouts, go into overtime, one-goal games. There's a lot of one-goal games in the NHL, so it can't be an easy bet to make.
So, yeah, and, you know, I know a guy who used to bet on baseball, but he only bet total runs. In games, you know, how many total runs he thought were going to be scored. You know, he never bet on which team was going to win or lose. He always just bet total runs. So, but yeah, he's the only guy I know who's ever actually bet on baseball besides Pete Rose.
Well, we know what he did.
So, and I don't know Pete Rose personally, but I know he bet on baseball. So
no.
There you go.
I don't know him personally, but I know that he's not a very pleasant human being, as we've talked about before.
Yeah, you know, but, you know, a lot of those old-time guys aren't the, you know, the nicest guys, but...
No,
you know, I guess that's, you know, kind of how it goes. I mean, how many Ty Cobb stories have we heard that he's...
Yeah, he was a... wasn't the cleanest player in the world, was he, Ty Cobb? His reputation coming in...
No.
His spikes high was his reputation, and well-founded, too.
So, yeah, he was, you know, well, you know, back then, you know, a lot of the guys were racist, and, you know, I mean, so it's not really big news when, you know, that comes out, but, you know, just that's how the country was and things were back then, so it's not like, you know, we're breaking any news here, so.
No, it's a well-known fact about him. They had an HBO movie on it about his life a number of years ago. I think it was Tommy Lee Jones in the lead role. Well done movie.
Yeah.
Quite accurate too. It was accurate.
And you know, he was a great baseball player.
Oh, one of the greatest of all time. One of the greatest of all time, along with Rogers Hornsby and DiMaggio and Mantle and Willie Mays and some of the other ones. He's a great, probably one of the top 10 baseball players ever. Maybe number one, according to some people.
Yeah. You know, some people probably think he's definitely, definitely the best player to ever play the game. You know, obviously it's so hard to compare eras like that. So,
yeah, it's very difficult to do that. And then how could you compare eras? You know, people are always speculating about the Jordan era. The Bulls could have beaten the Warriors, but that's just speculation that we'll never know one way or the other.
No, well, you know, that's the thing now, you know, is LeBron better than Jordan? Well, who knows, you know, so, you know, you're going to have guys on, you know, people on both sides, and, you know, it's just going to depend how you break things down is how you're going to determine.
Yeah, there was an NBA player, who was the NBA player just a few days ago, shocked everybody and said the greatest NBA player of all time is Wilt Chamberlain. Everybody expected him to say Michael Jordan. And I've heard a lot of people, he's not unusual. A lot of people think that Chamberlain was the best NBA player ever. He only had one flaw.
Well, you know, couldn't shoot free throws.
Right, exactly.
But, yeah, I mean, yeah, when you think about it, I mean, he was unstoppable in his time. I mean, you know, you couldn't stop Chamberlain. I mean, you could say the same thing about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. There were a lot of guys who fit into that category of, you know, just being, you know, guys, especially big men, you know, guys you just couldn't stop because of their size. And, you know, Kareem had the sky hook, which I think I read was only blocked one time in his career.
Right. So, I believe that it was Bill Russell, by the way, who had to force basketball to implement the offensive goaltending rule. Because I remember when he was playing in San Francisco, I think he was playing for San Francisco in college, he would actually guide the ball into the net. The guy would hit a long jump shot, and he would kind of go up in the air and make sure the ball went into the net. So they had to implement that rule because of him.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me, you know.
But he was a terrific player talking about one of the top players ever.
Yeah, easily, I still think probably the best defender to ever play the game. You know, I mean, I know that means nothing now to people who watch the NBA, but, you know, Bill Russell shut guys down. So.
And that's what I miss about the current NBA, by the way, talking about that. I miss defense. I miss defense, but I guess we're in the minority about that, right?
Yeah. I miss just, you know, even the thought of defense. I would love somebody just to pretend to play it. And I think I would probably be a little happier with it. But, I mean, you know, and the league makes no bones about it. They don't want anybody to play defense.
No. It's all shooting, three-point shots. And Isn't the All-Star game coming up, or has that been done yet, right? In the NBA.
Yeah, it was last weekend. They came off the break last night. So.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. The Bulls are out of action until tonight when they play Orlando. Yeah, that shows you how much importance I pay on the All-Star game.
Month. Yeah, I think you get about a month off for the NBA All-Star game, so people seem to forget when they're coming back because, you know, LeBron wanted that extra time because he needed the rest. So I think it's a complete month, but I'm not sure anymore.
Well, they're talking about being very conservative with him, the Lakers, with James for the remainder of the regular season.
Yeah, you know, the only problem is if they do that, they're not going to make the playoffs. He's got to be on the floor so the refs can give them the calls they need to make the playoffs. So
yeah, I think there's a lot of he does a lot of charging, as far as I'm concerned, that almost never is called.
Yeah, well, you know, I did find out an interesting stat that I didn't even think about when they were comparing great players. And this was a guy who actually mentioned that he thought LeBron James was just a smidge better than Michael Jordan. When the Bulls won their 6 championships in 8 years with Jordan, he played every single game of all 6 of those seasons, and he averaged 38 minutes a game over those 6 seasons. How many times, you know, Stu, when you're listening to an NBA thing or something and they say, well, we got to get this guy some rest so he'll be ready for the playoffs. It didn't seem to hurt Michael. Somebody complaining today that LeBron is taking on too big of a workload. You know, he's playing too much. Okay.
Yeah, when you compare that to what Jordan did in the playoffs and even in the regular season, that there's just no comparison. And Jordan.
Yeah,
played,
you know, I mean, I you could go back and look at, you know, other great players who played a lot. It was just the guy was comparing Jordan to James. That's how I knew the Jordan stats. I didn't realize that before, but, you know, these guys played. You know, you didn't hear this BS about, well, they need the rep.
Of course, there's that famous playoff game when he played when he was deadly sick. I think it was against Utah, if I'm not mistaken. And he, food poisoning, and there was speculation that it was done purposely, but who knows about that. But he collapsed after the game. He was dehydrated so badly. But they still wound up winning.
Yeah. So, you know, that's just, you know, that, and, you know, that's how, you know, these guys were. And it's humorous because, you know, now, you know, travel is easier than it used to be. You know, I mean, as things go on, it gets easier to travel. They're given more days off now. You know, it's actually set up like that. So they're, you know, they rarely play back, and I don't think they no longer play. I think it's 3 games in 4 days like they did at some point in time. You know, there's a day off between almost every playoff game, sometimes more than one, but yet these guys are tired and they need rest. And the training is better, the nutrition is better, and for some reason, these guys need more rest.
Yeah. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Weren't there several instances when the Bulls played, when Jordan was playing with the Bulls? Didn't they play back-to-back playoff games on the weekend?
Yeah, they would do that sometimes. So you know, that was a thing. You know, when the league wasn't as popular, you know, they weren't fodder for television as much as they are now. So they would knock the playoff games out a little quicker. I mean, obviously with as much as the Mickey Mouse Network has paid to televise these games, they are going to stretch these things out like you wouldn't believe. You know, and that's why the season goes till June.
Yeah, it seems interminable in the playoffs. I would suspect that during the Bulls' prime, when they won 6 out of 8 in those 2 years when Jordan was playing minor league baseball, that certainly had to be a good jump in ratings for the NBA for those 6 years.
Yeah, well, you know, it definitely, you know, it was a big help, you know, once they got going. I mean, you know, I can still remember the finals, the NBA finals being shown on tape delay after the local news. So, you know, they would be on at 10:30 at night. I think it was Channel 2 from what I remember. And, you know, it was like, these are, we're talking about the NBA finals. Imagine that. I mean, that's, you know, that's probably no, but that's where the league was in popularity.
Yeah, and the same also holds true for the NCAA.
Yeah.
I think I told you that when Loyola won their only championship, and I forgot the year, it was the 60s, it was shown in Chicago on a tape delay. can you imagine that now when every playoff game, every NCAA playoff game now is now televised on a variety of different channels? Every game. No more regional games being televised in your area. Every game is televised.
Yeah, oh yeah, you can find any game you want to watch, even the play-in games, you know, are on, you know, normally they're, you know, you got to have True TV or whatever normally to watch those, but they're out there.
Right.
You know, you can find them. So
they're there.
It's
yeah,
good, you know, talk
True
about
TV.
Betting. Oh my God. So
The amount of betting on the NCAA tournament, it has to be astronomical. I'm sure that betting is huge for that.
Oh yeah, you know. You know, and that's the thing. I mean, you know, if you're in an office, everybody fills out a bracket just because, even if they don't know anything, you know, you just plug it in and hope. And, you know, I mean, I know a lot of people's wives who have won that never saw a college basketball game, but, you know, they picked the teams that had the best names and they ended up winning. So
hasn't there been a contest the last few years that if someone could get the perfect bracket, every game predicted correctly, they win some astronomical amount, $1 million, but I don't know if anybody's ever done it.
Yeah, I enter that contest every year with my bracket. I have yet to win, and I don't believe nobody else has won that I know of. And I think, I believe Warren Buffett actually ran a contest a year or two ago, same thing, with the winner getting, and it was multiple millions of dollars. If you could do a perfect bracket, and I mean, it's, you know, that's as next to impossible as it gets with the way, you know, the way those things go.
I wonder if anybody's ever come close. I've never heard anybody really coming close to doing it.
Yeah. You know, I've heard people who have actually done it, but you know, I mean, it's just stuff you've heard. It's, you know, it's just rumors, so you don't know, you know, if it was true or if it's just something that's been built up. But, you know, I know there are people who get, you know, 85-90% of the picks right, and it's just like, holy cow, how'd you do that?
Especially with, you know, the early rounds, too. You know there's going to be some upsets, and how do you predict those?
Oh, yeah. You know, and well, you know, for the longest time, you knew that the number one seeds were always going to get out of the first round, but even now, you know, I think it was last year or 2 years ago for the first time a 16 seed beat a 1. So it's just kind of
right.
Like, great.
Right. That was the first time that happened. That was the first time that ever happened, though, wasn't it, that a 16 beat a 1?
Yeah, yeah. You know, the funny thing is last year, I don't remember which teams I picked for the finals, but they didn't get out of the first weekend. They both got beat in the second round. So.
Yeah. Your brackets didn't last too long.
No, not at all. No, normally after the first day, I'm pretty much done. But, you know, we'll see. And, you know, I always watch the shows and try to come up with a reasonable thing because, obviously, you know, I'm not a huge college basketball guy. I watch a little here and there, especially the local teams. But, you know, none of them are winning the tournament this year.
No, that Loyola certainly is not as strong as they were last year, although I think they're number one in the conference, and that'll be the only way they have a chance to get into the brackets this year by winning the conference as they did last year. But they're nowhere near as strong as they were last season.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering, if any of them even get into the tournament, you know, at this point. So,
well, they're the only ones that have a legitimate shot at it, I think. DePaul is not that good. Northwestern, forget about it. Illinois, none of them really. Well, of course, anything can happen in that Big Ten tournament. I mean, if you pull some upsets and qualify that way.
Yeah, sadly, I don't see that happening either. I don't think Northwestern or Illinois gets run through the tournament. But, hey, you know, you never know. I guess, you know, at least you get a chance, right?
Right. That's all that matters. And I don't know. I object to those tournaments. They had that, what, how many years? 7, 8, 9 years? And now they had those Big Ten tournaments. I mean, if you win the Big Ten, you win the Big Ten, as far as I'm concerned. But it doesn't work that way anymore.
No, well, you know, I mean, it all boils down to, you know, money, because everybody's going to go to that, you know, that tournament from every school.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, Big Ten is now unique. Every conference has that now.
Yeah, you know, I think there are still a couple that don't do it. You know, there are some smaller ones. Obviously, you know, like the Ivy League doesn't have a tournament. All you got to do is win the league to get in, but it's the Ivy League, and I don't know how many of them are winning the NCAA title, so.
Yeah, I wouldn't hold your breath on any of those teams winning the big one.
No, they always seem to pick up a game here or a game there. It's always kind of funny when it's like, oh, okay, look at that, they beat somebody. So,
yeah,
kind of that goes, but yeah, not the you know, while they probably are the smartest team in the tournament, not the probably most talented. So.
No, and I you don't see a Yale or a Harvard or Dartmouth or any of those teams winning the big one.
Yeah, no, they only get one team in. Whoever wins the tournament gets in. I will tell you, I did pick Brown to beat Harvard tonight. Just so you know, on my streak for the cash on the Mickey Mouse Network website, Brown is 15-9, and they are at home. Harvard is 13-8, but I'm going to go with Brown. I think that would actually be a little bit of an upset. So there you go. That's what I'm going with tonight. The game actually should be starting here really soon. So we'll see how it goes. But I'm on a 3-game winning streak. That'll give me 4.
All right.
I'm nowhere close to
that.
But
is that a straight up prediction? Is that a straight up prediction?
Yes.
Or any points you have to? You don't have any points. You have to win by 3 or 4. Nothing.
I'm winning straight up. No points are involved here. Nothing. So.
Well, that helps. Certainly, that helps.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a bad selection on your part. I think it'll be a close game. It should be a close game, I think, between those two teams tonight.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, it is on the Mickey Mouse Plus. If you're paying for the app, you can actually watch that game. So, you know, there you go. You'll be all set. So you can't.
What? And miss the Bulls in Orlando? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, well, you know, besides the Bulls, you know, we have a what is almost a semi-important hockey game tonight.
Yes,
somehow,
that's right.
I don't know how that happened, but the Blackhawks find themselves back in playoff contention after as bad as they've been.
Yeah, maybe you could tell me something. Am I misreading something? Is the game starting an hour earlier than usual tonight? The Blackhawks game I'm talking about.
Pull up the schedule here, and we'll see what they have listed. And, you know, of course, you know the rule here on the podcast. Anytime I need the internet to work fast, it slows down. So it's probably going to be a second here. What do I have? I have 6:30 for the start time.
Yeah, which is an hour earlier than normal.
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder why they're doing that. Because it's not. Is it on the NBC regular channel, or is it going to be on one of those network broadcasts?
Well, you know, they don't have it listed here because I'm on the Mickey Mouse website. This is a game that is available through their app as well. So I'm wondering if they're starting it early because they have two hockey games available tonight. You got the Avalanche at the Blackhawks at 6:30, and then they're also going with the 9 o'clock game, which is the Winnipeg Jets at the Las Vegas Golden Knights. So I wonder if maybe, you know, the Mickey Mouse Network asked them to bump it up a half hour so they could get both games in.
Yeah, that's actually an hour, right? Because I think the Blackhawk game starts at 7:30 normally.
Yeah, normally it's 7:30 here. I forgot you get the pregame and stuff goes till 7:30.
Right.
So, yeah, they're an hour ahead. So you'll have time. Just think, you'll have time. We'll finish up the podcast. You'll be able to make dinner and then sit down and watch the Blackhawk game.
Yeah, that's right. That reminds me, in about 50 minutes, I have to preheat the oven.
See? So,
thank you for reminding me.
Yeah, can't forget those things. You'll be in big trouble there. So
yeah, and I got to be able
to. Yeah.
I'm going to put that pot pie in, and you didn't know how skillful. I'm almost as skillful as you when it comes to being a chef.
Oh, well, there you go. So, yeah, the rest of the NHL, there are a couple more games. We got the Blue Jackets at the Senators. The Wild is at the Wings, and then the other game tonight has the Ducks at the Flames, along with the, you know, the two we mentioned. But, yeah, the, you know, the Blackhawks and the Avalanche are tied for the final playoff spot. So, you know, we get a win tonight, and, you know, whichever team wins gets to take it over. And there can't, how many games are left? I don't even know how many games teams have got left. I know they're in this.
How many games,
you know,
are left? Are the Wild slightly ahead of the Blackhawks too?
Yeah, the Wild are 1 point ahead. So if the Blackhawks actually get an outright win and the Wild lose, they would jump them as well.
That's certainly a critical game. And there is an adage I've heard sometime in sports, and it really better hold true for the Blackhawks tonight, and that adage is the best defense is a good offense. And their offense better be on top of their game tonight, because I don't think their defense is very good this season.
Yeah, no, God, the defense has been terrible. You know, they gave up, what, was it 7 goals to Ottawa, who's like the worst team in the NHL?
That's right, so, and then they blew that 4-1. They blew that 4-1 lead to Detroit, who's not a very good team either. Detroit tying the game with, what, about a minute and a half left in regulation?
So, yeah, we'll have to see if they can get themselves righted here. But, yeah, it actually looks like, according to what I'm looking at now, Minnesota actually holds the last wild card spot with 62 points. Then you've got the Avalanche, the Coyotes, and the Blackhawks sitting at 61. And the Canucks obviously not out of it at 60. So, there's a nice little group. Dallas is the top wild card team at 65. So, yeah, they're all in a nice little group there.
Yeah, I think they're very similar in games played. Maybe one or two of them have a game in hand, but not many, as it is earlier
in
the season.
They've either played 60 or 61 games, so they're all in the same group.
Which means, as you pointed out, there's about 20 games left then in the season. It's an 82-game season. Yeah, 82-game season. So it's getting down to the nitty-gritty. 75% of the season is in the book, so these games become even more critical every game. And I think I pointed to you in the email that, it would be nice for the Blackhawks to win tonight, but even more important is to win in regulation and not in overtime when they would – I mean, because if they win in overtime, Colorado gets a point. So not much of a gain there.
Yeah, you definitely need the regulation win. And, it looks like, their schedule isn't too bad. You know, after this, they're hosting Dallas. The big concern is they've got to go on a 3-game Western road trip, and you know how bad that is. They've got to go to Anaheim. They play the Kings, and then they play the Sharks before they come back to host Buffalo. And anytime a Chicago team goes out west, even when they're good teams, they just somehow can't manage to win these games. So that could be a little interesting to see if that's their downfall here coming up, because they've been playing some good hockey, at least offensively.
They have been. I remember when they won their first cup in the resurgence, when they won with the 3 cups over the last 10 years or so. They did very well on the West Coast that season, if I remember correctly. I think they went into San Jose, who was considered one of the best teams in the league, and the Blackhawks crushed them on the road. But that doesn't happen very often.
No, not tough. And even like we talked about the Bulls a little bit, you know, even when they had those great teams with, you know, Jordan and Pippen and those guys, they even struggled on the West Coast.
Yeah, they did. They certainly did. It's tough to. I don't know if the 2-hour time difference makes that much of a difference, but you really think that it shouldn't with the age of jet travel, but somehow it does seem to affect teams.
Yeah, it's just, you know, one of those things that just seems to, you know, especially Chicago teams. I don't know if every team reacts like that, but yeah, the Chicago teams definitely have issues with going west. Even the baseball teams. So.
Yeah, oh, definitely. How many games did the Cubs win in Los Angeles last season, or if any? Did they win any?
Yeah. You know, I honestly don't know. So, it's
even
possible.
San Diego, they have trouble with San Diego, and they have trouble with San Francisco, and Arizona, Colorado also usually give them a very difficult time when they visit them.
So, yeah, and it does look like Colin, is it Delia, is the projected starter in goal tonight, so still no Corey Crawford.
Yeah, and Delia has been less than impressive lately. That wasn't he pulled in that 8-7 game against Ottawa? I think they pulled him.
He's only spent expensive lately. So.
Yeah, he is. He's regressed a little bit the last few games. He's supposed to be the goalie of the future, but he hasn't shown it to me yet.
You know, yeah, they've just been, you know, both guys have just been so bad. I know there was a lot of talk about, teams wanting to trade for Cam Ward with the Blackhawks because, you know, he's a nice veteran. It's always nice to kind of have those guys as a backup goalie. But, yeah, with the way he's played lately, I'm guessing that market isn't as interesting as it once was. So.
And I'm not sure people are all that excited about Crawford coming back because he's been less than stellar this season, too, when he played. He hasn't been the old Crawford.
No, you know, obviously, you know, the one thing you get there is, you know, at least you get a Stanley Cup winning goalie. But, yeah, you do wonder, I mean, with all the injuries he's had and, you know, everything that's went on with him these last few years – You got to wonder what he has left, don't you?
Yeah, he's got a lot of wear and tear. He's been in the league a long time anyway, and those concussions are a bad injury. I mean, they could linger on, and you could be cleared to play, but you might still have some problems stemming from the concussion syndrome.
So, yeah, it's just, I keep hearing and reading that, you know, he's on the ice and he's skating and, you know, it looks like he'll be back soon. And we just, you know, haven't seen him. So.
Yeah. And he claims he's 100%. He's ready to go.
Huh?
And they should slot him in. They should give him a game. I don't know when though. I mean, what game would you put him in? Would it be an important game or maybe just a game on the road to slide him back into action and against a subpar team? I don't know how they would work it.
Yeah, you know, it's so tough because, I mean, you think about it, if you put him in against a subpar team and you lose that game because he's not on the top, well, then, you know, you're in a playoff race and you've just given away points.
Yeah, and as you pointed out, by going through the number of points that the teams are ahead of them, how close it is, every game now for the rest of the season, the remaining 20 games or so, are going to be critical every game.
Yeah. Yeah, they're, you know, it's going to be one of those things where you're going to need at least a point every game. So.
Of course, the optimism would be that no one would have expected this to happen a month or two ago.
No, oh, God, no. With the way they started out, geez.
And when the new coach took over, he wasn't, his record wasn't very good initially, and.
Yeah, I do have here, Crawford played in 23 games before he got hurt. He was a whopping 6-14, but oddly, he has the best goals against average of the three goalies at 3.28.
Yeah, that's a respectable number.
So, you know, obviously you'd like to see it be under three, but yeah, he's the best out of the three as of right now. I mentioned Delia's in goal tonight. This will be his 15th game. 6-3 with a 3.43 goals against average. So.
Is that a better number than Ward?
Yes, it is. Ward's goals against is 3.69, but he's 14-9 in his 28 total games.
Oh, that could be said maybe something just that the offense has played better against with him in this than with the other two goalies.
Yeah, well, because I believe wasn't Warden goal against Ottawa where they gave up the 7 goals, but they won. He got the win because, you know, they won 8-7.
Yeah, I'm trying to know if I think the initial goalie, I don't know if it was Dalia or Ward, but the initial goalie was pulled quite early in the first period. So they both had a hand in that the victory. And they had to sweat that out at the end when I think Ottawa, they had a 6-on-4, didn't they, at the end of the game in the last couple of minutes.
Yeah, and, you know, I know, I believe it's the I believe it's the NHL trading deadline, but I haven't seen if the, you know, the Blackhawks had made any type of move or anything yet. You know, I saw a couple ones earlier, but not, you know, not like big names that had been, you know, been shipped around, but. You know, they're, you know, obviously there still is some time to, for teams to get some stuff done, and you know,
would like to see them get a maybe get another defender, a defenseman.
Yeah, that's
cool.
Can we get a
some experience?
You know, but yeah, then you know, then you also have to wonder is, I mean, do they want to add? You know, is that really the? You know, I guess depending on what they would have to give up. So.
Yeah, that's always an important factor, but they certainly can use another defenseman because the ones they have now are not getting the job done.
So, yeah, it, you know, like it looks like the Capitals picked up a defenseman. I know everybody was excited about this deal. The Columbus Blue Jackets got Matt Duchene from the Senators, but it looks like they gave up quite a bit to get him. They gave up two players and a first-round pick and then possibly a conditional first-round pick. So, you know, I guess maybe Columbus is going to go for it because Panarin's going to go into free agency.
Right, and, of course, there's a rumor now that he might come back to Chicago.
Yeah, I heard that. Did you by any chance hear the coach's interview when Panarin sat out the other day?
No, I missed that.
Yeah, he was quite graphic explaining how he was throwing up and he had crapped his pants. He used a different word to describe the crapping of the pants than I did. And yeah, he because you know everybody was speculating that he was out because they were going to trade him because of you know the impending free agency. So yeah, no, the coach went into full detail on exactly why he was out. And I guess the reporters got what they want because it was. Graphic would be the word to describe it. So
I thought he would use a euphemism like, oh, he had the stomach virus or a stomach flu or something like that, which would at least give you the information without going into any of the gory details.
Yeah, well, you know, it's probably to the point where, you know, knowing the media as it is, they probably asked him the same question 100 different ways. And my guess is he probably just finally got fed up with it and said, look, you know, here's what's going on. So,
well, that should have quieted the media at least, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, you know, at least, yeah, you know, they seem to have at least, yeah, they stopped asking him questions about it after he did that. So, you know, that did work out.
Yeah, you don't see that happen all that often in hockey when a player is held out because of an impending trade or acquisition or a move. You see it all the time in the NBA, though.
Yeah, it's weird. You'd think hockey would be the one where they would want to keep the guys out because obviously, you know, you're going to get killed. But no, they, you know, no big deal.
No, well, as you and I both know, the hockey NHL hockey players are just the toughest athletes in the world. They are incredibly tough. I mean, compare them to baseball or football or basketball and. There's no comparison.
Yeah, it's so different. The list of things that you know NHL guys go through that would keep an NBA or an MLB player or even a football player out. But you know, if an NBA player got one of those injuries, he'd be out for the season.
Right, and wasn't it in one of the playoff games a few years ago when Keith had lost a few teeth? And he's back out in the next period.
Yeah, went in, got stitched up, You know, didn't worry about the teeth. Took care of that later. And, yeah, went back out and played. So
can you imagine an NBA player doing that? I don't think so.
Oh, God. You know, I would still be laying on the ice, and that was how many years ago? You know.
Right. So. Right. They're just those guys are incredibly tough.
So, yeah, I give them all the credit in the world when it comes to stuff like that because they're just – jeez. So.
Yeah, they are amazing, really amazing.
You know, just kind of how it goes. But, yeah, you know, we'll see. You know, maybe the Blackhawks can stumble their way in the playoffs. I don't expect them to get out of the first round. But, you know, the NHL is a weird bird when you come to the playoffs, so you never know.
Yeah, well, you know, it's the best of it's best of seven, and strange things can happen sometimes. But you would be shocked if they got through the first round.
Yeah. So, yeah, I definitely would. But you know, I know the thing in the NHL is, you know, if you get that hot goalie, you know, they can take you a long way in, you know, in the playoffs. It's quite surprising how well. That comes about.
Critical. I have to say that I think that the Blackhawks are on their way back. I think that they're going to be an improved team next season, and they'll be more of a contender next year than this year. They seem to have acquired some pretty good players, and I think that they could be solid next season.
About all the young talent they had, so maybe – finally, some of it's going to start to produce.
Yeah. Well, they have quite a few good players on their team, and combined with some veterans like Kane and Taze, they have some potential for being pretty decent next season, I think. Unlike the Bulls.
Yeah. No. Sadly, the Bulls are. So far away, it's not even funny unless, you know, maybe they improve if they get lucky and they land in one of those top spots and they pick the right guy, but that's asking John Paxson and Gar Forman to do a lot. So.
Yeah. And, hey, I have a question for you regarding the number one draft pick now. Is that going to make any difference as to him getting injured recently?
No. He's fine. They said it was a mild knee sprain or something, and it's nothing that's going to derail anything. I mean, obviously the bigger problem was for Nike because it was their shoe he was wearing.
Yeah, I was going to say that was an embarrassment for Nike, and that certainly doesn't do them very, very good in terms of publicity for their shoes. And I don't remember ever seeing that happen before. I'm sure it must have. But, boy, that was so graphic and surprising when it did occur. And, it could have been even worse for the injury. As you said, it was a mild one, but you don't expect something like that to happen.
So, the big thing is it was mild, nothing that's going to, he can play whenever he wants to play. I mean, obviously there's, everybody lining up on the fact that he should sit out now the rest of the season. But, who knows? Well, I'm sure he'll play. He seems like the kind of guy who loves the game. So.
One of the NBA players, after this injury happened, one of the NBA players came out with a statement and said, college is BS. Of course, he said it a little more graphically than I'm saying it, but you ever seen that? College is BS.
Yeah, that was DeMarcus Cousins, who's with the Golden State Warriors now.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
And he mentioned that, the people were paying $2,500 to go see that game, and, the players don't get any of it. But, you got to remember, the original idea behind this was players traded their athletic ability for a college education. But as you and I both know, these players are no longer getting a college education. So,
yeah, and you and I both have heard some of these guys speak, and it's pretty embarrassing.
Yeah. You think if you're a college, you really should be embarrassed when your former players interview, even if they only went there 1 year. You should be just totally embarrassed by the way some of these guys talk. So, But, you know, obviously, I mean, you and I know, and, you know, everybody knows at this point that these kids aren't going to class. They're, you know, they're there to play their one and go in the draft if they've got talent, and, you know, they keep them eligible, whatever they have to do to keep them eligible.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, that's how it is.
Yeah, I do have to say that LeBron James, although he never went to college, he's fairly well-spoken.
Yeah, you know, there are some guys, you know, who seem to be okay with it. But I did, while we were talking about this, I don't think this is anything I've ever asked you, because I've been so curious about this for, I guess, since this idiot brought his kids back from playing overseas, and that idiot, of course, would be LeVar Ball. You know, obviously we know Lonzo is in the NBA. LiAngelo couldn't make it. I think he might be playing back in Europe. And now LaMelo is playing in high school. And I need you to explain this to me, because I saw an article that said he himself wants to go play college basketball. He got paid to play professionally in Turkey. How the hell does he have amateur eligibility left?
As far as, you know, I saw the same thing, and it was quite puzzling, and I don't see how he could possibly have amateur standing left after what he did.
Yeah.
Because he was in another country,
you know,
that was the reason.
Now they call like academies that I guess he could play at, because they don't have to follow high school rules, but all the colleges have to follow this, and he was a paid professional.
Yeah, exactly right, and it's just so much in basketball that really disturbs you sometimes. I mean, this is bad. This is really bad.
You know, I know they made an exception back in the day for Jeremy Bloom, because he was a professional snowboarder. He was being paid as a professional snowboarder, but he was playing college football. So those are two different sports. You know, LaMelo Ball is going to play basketball, which is what he got paid to do in Turkey.
Yeah, it's
Is it not out because it was Turkey? Are they not a country anymore or something?
Yeah. They may be a Turkey, but they're a country.
So yeah, I've been confused by this since it started, and I just and then when he came out and said, "Oh yeah, I plan on going to college."
Yeah, and we've talked about other things before. Besides that, what have you ever seen, say 10, 15 years ago, high school students transferring out of state to another state or to another school so they can play basketball? That makes no sense to me.
The best, you know, it's odd how all the best basketball players or football players or whatever you are all end up going to these certain schools, isn't it? You know.
Yeah. It's a real shocker, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, and then it's funny because then you always hear the story about, well, you know, he takes two trains and three buses to get to school every day, but then you're thinking, well, there's probably a closer school in his area. Why does he go there?
Yeah, exactly. And then that really bothers me. I mean, you know, the high school, especially in high school, you think. Purely amateur basketball, and it's just not the same anymore.
No, you know, it's so weird because, yeah, I mean, if a kid shows a little bit of talent, that it's like he's locked into that sport, and that's the only sport he plays, or she.
That's it.
To be fair there. And, you know,
I have seen occasion when college or high school athletes say, I want to play two sports. And most of the time they're shut down by the coach.
Baseball being a little more accepted of two-way guys, you know, because they've got a lot of guys now who are going to start to try to pitch and play positions. If maybe that'll open it up to more two-sport athlete type of players where, you know, maybe we see more guys playing football and baseball or try to play basketball and, basketball and baseball, because I don't think they overlap quite as much.
No,
I don't think you're going to see something else because you get killed in the NHL. So.
Yeah. But you have there are very few. There are very few who have played at an elite level at more than one sport. There's been a couple of exceptions,
it's definitely tough to do. But you know, I mean, you got to think there are guys out there who probably have the talent to do it, and I just wonder how that would affect the landscape because these AAU coaches want to get their hooks into kids as soon as they can, and especially if you're a basketball player, obviously, because that's where AAU is, they want to lock you down as early as you can. I mean, fifth, sixth, seventh grade, if you've got the talent.
That's a good point. I was going to bring that up next, is that it really bothers me to see these guys scouting kids when they're 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. That's ridiculous. Absolutely. Amateur sports is dead when these things happen. You talk about amateur sports as compared to pro sports, and there's a certain nobility playing amateur sports, and it doesn't seem like it's there anymore.
No, yeah, it's completely frightening with the way athletes are looked at today, especially young athletes. The thought of I think I would have went nuts if they'd have said, "Yeah, you're only playing one sport." I'd been like, "What am I going to do the other 8 months? Well, you're going to practice that sport." Well, God, no, I don't want anything to do with it all the time.
And I'm also wondering if some of these kids are being a little bit too idealistic and are jaded and just don't care about academics because I'm going to be in the NBA, I'm going to be in the NFL, and not paying attention to their academics, and later on it's going to hurt them.
I think the bigger problem with that is the parent, because you damn well know if your kid is recruited like that. Every parent automatically starts living through their child at that point. And, it doesn't matter. My son or my daughter is going to be this or that. And they, who cares what kind of grades they get? Well, look, you got to look at these leagues. There aren't a lot of jobs in these leagues. So.
When you think of the minuscule amount of kids that are going to make it into a pro level, and you just, the odds are stacked against you, and very few will succeed. But it doesn't stop them from trying, and I give them credit for trying.
It's a great team to have, and if you're willing to put the work in, there might be an opportunity for you down the road. But, it's a lot of work, and, sadly, there's just so much corruption out there, and starts when these kids are so young, and I know I've heard of so many AAU coaches have been accused of paying players already, to make sure they play or, this kind of stuff. And it's like, man, we're talking about like kids who aren't even in high school yet.
Yeah. So, and the question is, when do the fans become jaded because of this and disgusted? I guess they're not. It doesn't look like it's affecting them. They just, as long as your team wins, that's all that counts.
That's how it is. Winning cures everything. So
right, or as one famous person said, and you may know this line: "Win if you can, lose if you must, but always cheat."
Do this with. Don't forget, if you want to hear the podcast, all the time, all the day, all you got to do is go to